We are going to get the scripture reading this morning from the book of Jude. It is a very short book with one chapter. We will look at a bigger part of it and look at what God was saying to the church through his servant. And as to what God is saying to us today as we fellowship in this place. Well, I will read the whole chapter, hoping that I won't have much to say, because what it is saying actually is almost clear to everybody. It reads as follows. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people has crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasonable animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by wind, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the form of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about this that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud mouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is this who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, his great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen." Hallelujah. I think as we read and go through this passage, we could feel a sort of anger and frustration in the tone of the writer, who the Bible says initially wanted to write to these Christians, encouraging them, and he wanted to talk to them about the grace that they have received of the gospel. But now, because of some developments where some people crept into the church, and people who were very much against the life of who the people who are calling themselves Christians should be, he was forced to change his topic. So now, brothers and sisters, in my sharing with you, I'm going to have this as my theme: be warned against false Christians. There are people who will be calling themselves Christians, and they will be found in our midst, but those people will be very much dangerous. So we need to be warned. Christianity has lost its dignity and respect among non-believers and even among other faiths. There are people who are Muslims and many other different religions. They will tell you, sometimes they will say, "You Christians, you do this and do that and do that." But as they speak, you'll realize that these people are not talking about Christians. But there are people who are calling them Christians who will be found among Christians. So this is the problem that the writer of this book was trying to contend with. So he is warning about the what we will look at as the false teachers. Because these people had a very great influence among Christians. They would even defend what they were doing. So they were teaching. While most of what is said about them here is not necessarily their doctrine or what they taught, but we are given their character. We are being told about their lifestyle. The book of Jude is describing how are these people who are among Christians, calling them Christians, but how are they behaving? Jude says they are immoral. I hope you all understand the word immoral. A child of God, once you become a child of God, your morals change. Your lifestyle changes. But in the case of these people, they were immoral and they were found among Christians. Jude is speaking of their haughty spirit and attitude. They would not allow anybody to challenge what they were doing. They were very much harsh of anyone who will challenge their behavior. According to Jude, these people, for them, material is so much inferior to the spirit, so much that it is not important what you are doing or what your actions are. Some people will say, what is saved is my spirit. But my body, what I do in my body is of no importance. God is not looking at what I'm doing. God is looking at my spirit. What does that mean? So that's what was going on here. They lived a loose life. Actually, they were wicked. And yet they were claiming to be believers because they were found among believers. They abused their freedom in Christ to indulge in sinful nature. What they were after was what satisfies their sinful nature. And they will do anything, nonstop. Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We received grace from the Lord. God loves us. He saved us. But that does not mean we must remain in sin. And Jude here says, they changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. When you look at verse 4. They changed God's grace into immorality. These are the people that were there during the days of Jude. And brothers and sisters, when we look around, we will see things like that. On many occasions, when you try to help these people, they are so arrogant and full of pride. They know themselves as the people who need to be respected and looked upon as Christians. But they actually do not know what they are saying. But now, as Jude is describing to us the character of these people, he goes back in history and tells us, how did God deal with sin in the past? As God dealt with sin in the past, it shows that God is still going to deal with anyone who sins even today and in future. Jude is telling us about the people of Israel who left Egypt. He says, God saved these people from Egypt. He freed them from the bondage of Egypt. He was taking them to the land of Canaan, where they were supposed to live in freedom, in the land of milk and honey. We all know, brothers and sisters, that not all people reached their destination. The Bible says only two people entered Canaan, who left Egypt at the age of more than 20 years. All others perished in the wilderness. God saved these people, and he intended to take them to the promised land. But because of their stubbornness, because of their behavior and character, they all perished. That is how God dealt with sin then. Does that not mean if you are saved today, you will always be saved, regardless of what you are doing? The Bible doesn't say that. God punishes sin. We understand from that history that even the man of God, Moses, did not reach Egypt, I mean Canaan, because God is just. When God said, do not do this, you must just not do it. So Jude is taking us from the lesson to the lesson of history. He also speaks of angels. He says, those angels who did not kept their position of authority, but they left their proper dwelling. The Bible says God has kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness for the great day of judgment. The angels, think of angels, the spirit beings that God has created, when they did not stay in their position, God dealt with them. So Jude is telling these Christians that he will always do that. If people are not respecting their position, Jesus Christ has given us a great position of being the children of God. So we must stay there. Our life, our behavior, our character, whatever we are doing must show we are the children of God. It doesn't matter how loud do you shout the name of Jesus, how loud do you sing, but your action speaks louder than words. So the Bible is calling us to live the life of holiness. Jude goes on to tell us about Sodom and Gomorrah. We understand the immorality that was going on in Sodom. It went to the extent where God would not tolerate it. And he brought judgment to those people who were living there. He killed them by fire. The Bible says not even five people were found in Sodom who will save in God or who were just. But now God had no option but to destroy them. We remember the man of God, Abraham, trying to pray and intercede for them. But it was in vain. And lastly, he is taking us back to Cain, Balaam and Korah. Those are some of the lessons of history. When Peter speaks about Cain, he says, even after, the Bible says, Cain was of the devil, while Abel was righteous, Cain was not pleasing to the Lord. Balaam, we understand, he was the man with a great gift of blessing and cursing people, and God will speak directly to him. But because of his disobedience, God had to use the donkey to call him to order. But that was in vain. He went on to deceive the children of God. About Korah, you know, as I was looking at this story of Korah and his rebellion, I could see that people can be stubborn. After Moses have tried to reason with him and his men, they were so stubborn. They were challenging the authority of the man of God. So now they had to die in a very unnatural way. The Bible says, the earth opened its mouth and they were all swallowed alive, because they were rebellious. So Jude is telling us how resolute God is when it is coming to deal with sin, sinful people who are disobedient. Why would we be so special, brothers and sisters, that while we claim to be the children of God, we continue doing the wrong things and yet expect God to understand? While he did not understand in the past. Brothers and sisters, let me, because of time, just go on to explain what Jude is doing here. In his condemnation of the action of these people, Jude is saying, when you look at verse 10, they act like unreasonable animals. Their actions looked as those of animals that are unreasonable. He says, they are blemishes at your love feast, shepherds who feed only themselves, clouds without rain, uprooted autumn trees twice dead without fruit, wildly forming waves of the sea, wandering stars which will soon be completely turned into darkness, grumblers and fault finders, selfish boasters and dishonest flatterers. Those are the people who were found among the children of God. As I said at the beginning, while Jude wanted to encourage the children of God and explain about the gospel that they have received, he was compelled to condemn this type of life among those who were calling them Christians. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be equally careful. I won't explain all what Jude is saying here, but he is also quoting some books from the scriptures, from apocryphal books. He is quoting here the issue of Moses, or rather about Moses, where he says, even under the utmost provocation, the archangel Michael is said to have refrained from slandering and accusing the devil himself. He did not accuse the devil, Michael, when they were contending about the body of Moses. Now he is calling upon these people who are so critical of opposition. That how do they dare accuse God's people who are trying to call them to order? Moses, Jude is also quoting the issue of Enoch, where the Bible says, God is coming with his innumerable array to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people were able to say anything whenever they liked. They did not mind their language. How do they speak? You know, some people will be very kind and orderly when they are in church, but find them outside. What do they speak? How they speak? You will find a great difference. The Bible says God is going to judge people for all what they have said with their mouths. Jude is warning his listeners about that. Let us, as a conclusion, brothers and sisters, read verse 20, which says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." So it says to us, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Let our faith, brothers and sisters, show that element of holiness, that we have put ourselves aside for the service of the Lord because of what Christ did for us. The Bible says we were bought with a heavy price. The blood of Jesus Christ is the one that bought us so that we can be able to become children of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit and be able to walk in a way that God is pleased. With these words, brothers and sisters, can we close our eyes and pray? Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity today to sit before you, look at the mirror of your word, and also look at our lives. We see your love, Lord, that you have shown always, Lord, by calling us to repentance and faith whenever we go astray. We trust, Lord, that as we listen to your word today, meditate on it, you will give us power through the Holy Spirit to serve you in all holiness, so that, Lord, your word, your name might be glorified. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.